I got pastor shared a testimony of something online last week. Was it somebody in the hospital that received their healing? And I guess I forgot to mention a couple weeks ago that another person, when I was talking about, gosh, it's been probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was talking about hair growing on people's heads, sitting in services, money appearing in their wallets, their bank account, the mailbox, and things. And it was things that were just coming out. Somebody immediately afterwards had checked their bank account, and they had just received money deposited in the bank for over $20,000 that they didn't even know what it was. So somebody say, that happens to me all the time. That's the way we ought to be. Right? We're blessed. We have favor. You know, one thing that I heard Dr. Savell say in the last week is that, you know, when you see the word grace in the Bible, you know, oftentimes it means unmerited favor. And so we have the blessing. We have favor. The blessing empowers us to prosper, and favor gives us opportunities or opens doors for the blessing to go to work in our lives. And that's the way we can live. And so we just got to get this coming out of our mouths. We got to say something. So when you're the things we've already talked about, we're not going to stop doing. That's something we're doing all the time. We're continuously praising. We're continuously being thankful. I just recently had a pastor that accompanied us to to the Branson Victory Campaign, and he just kept saying, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to be here, to have this opportunity to be here. And he was just so thankful. And his thanksgiving, he just kept saying it over and over again. And his thanksgiving opened doors for him to meet heroes in the faith that he wanted to meet. He didn't try to push his way. And let me read to you what it says. I like this. In the Message translation, it says, we just read, you know how it says, who are you, O great mountain, that scripture? He goes, the messenger angel said, can't you tell? No, sir, I said. Then he said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel. You can't force these things. And he goes on to say, it's not by your might. It's not by your power, but it's by his spirit. You can't force these things. God opens doors that no man can open, and he shuts doors that no man can shut, so on and so forth. It's by his spirit. Amen. And so he was saying, so he can put you in places before great people because of the blessing that's on your life and the favor. But how you can walk in that is through your thanksgiving. And he was just so thankful. And it was just neat to see. He's still texting me today. Did I mention I'm thankful? Did I mention I'm thankful? So I sent him a little text of a little boy dancing on a chair. And I said, I'm so thankful too. It's contagious. That's the way we ought to live.
Amen.
Amen. This is exactly how the Holy Spirit told me to open this teaching tonight. And we're in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 13. And his servants came near and spoke to him. His servant, speaking about Naaman. We'll go back and study him a little bit. My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Question mark. My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? That's the question I ask you tonight. That if God... Does he have to tell you to do something great, to receive what he's got for you. Now let's go back and look at verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. So he's very well decorated. He's a commander of the army. He's a VIP. He's an important person, distinguished, high-ranking official. Are you with me? But he was a leper. And so, you know, through some people that wanted to help him, it got back to the king. And verse 7, the king of Israel read the letter that he had tore his clothes and says, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." And so it was when Elisha, the man of God, Do you know that God has men and women of God that he has anointed and called to the ministry? Now, we all have a ministry of reconciliation. We're all commissioned to preach the gospel to every living creature. But Ephesians says that Jesus appoints the fivefold, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And he graces them for what he's called them to do and anoints them for it. And so you'll see many times in the Bible where God uses men of God and women of God to help his people.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
So here, Elisha answers and says, verse 8, Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. So here Naaman, this high-ranking official, is going to the man of God, believing to be healed of his leprosy.
Right.
And Elisha sent a messenger to him. This high-ranking VIP didn't even get Elisha himself to come to the door.
Amen.
Elisha sent his messenger. Well, Naaman didn't like that. You know, because when you're used to people saluting you and, you know, obeying your orders, or if you just think you're something, this might would bother you. Probably not any of you, but probably people watching online. So he says, he sent a messenger. He says, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean." Pretty simple instructions, right? So that's all I got to do. I got to just go wash in the Jordan 7 times and then I'm clean. You would think that he would be excited about that. That's it? Boom. How many of you would have just taken off for the Jordan? You'd be throwing your clothes, cannonball, right in. Right? But no. Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out." So Naaman had this vision of how this was going to go down. Naaman had this thing about how God should heal him, this dignitary, this important person. Well, you know, I thought he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord. Like he's got this. I thought he would come out, you know, this big production and call on the name of the Lord. Wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Very dramatic. Was that dramatic enough for you, or should I be more dramatic? I can be more dramatic. I'm just being as dramatic as you're being quiet. Maybe if you were a little louder, I'd be more dramatic. And his servants came near and spoke to him. Or he said, it goes on, verse 12. Are not these and the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters? So he didn't really want to go in the Jordan now. There were other rivers that were more suitable for his healing. There were other rivers that he thought a man of his stature should be sent to. Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away. Watch this. In a rage. He walked away. Why? Because a messenger came out and said, go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. Where was Naaman's breakthrough? It was in the River Jordan. Why was it in the River Jordan? Because that's what God told the man of God to tell the messenger to tell Naaman. So, his servant, thank God for his servant that came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have done it? How much more then when he just says to you, wash and be clean? In other words, he's saying, I mean, come on. Don't you want to be healed? Don't you want your breakthrough?
Come on.
You may not like the message. Because there's something that we have to deal with called this flesh thing. And so sometimes it requires us to be introspective and look within ourselves to ask the question, have I been in disobedience to God?
All right.
And could my disobedience have caused my standstill when I need a breakthrough? Now, all of this we're talking about is to, again, position us for breakthrough, because we've already established the fact that God put his footsteps in on a highway with paths that couldn't be seen. So, in other words, Jesus has already won the victory. He's already gone to the cross. He's already taken on all of our sins, our sickness, our disease. He took it to hell. He left it there and came out victorious. Came to us and said, you have the victory now. Walk in it. You can use my name. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have all these things I've equipped you with. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. The pulling down of strongholds. I've given you Ephesians 6 weaponry. The sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith.
Hallelujah.
Giving you all these things. But nobody wants to look at themselves and take responsibility for any decisions that they may have made. Mm-hmm. could be the cause of why they haven't experienced their breakthrough. But if God were to, you know, a rule of thumb would be, okay, well, you know, I've heard people say, I just don't feel like God's been speaking to me. And so the rule of thumb when that is always to go back to the last word that God gave you. And did I do that? Did I do that? Brother Joe, I tried to get him to come tonight to share some stories, so I'll share one of his. He was in a service one time by the Spirit of the Lord. He said, there's a healing anointing for women that want to have a baby, to conceive. So if that's you, get out of your chair and run down here. Two women got out of their chair. One ran down, and the other walked down. He prayed for both of them just the same. A year later, because you know you go to places and sometimes you don't hear what all happens. A year later, he got a photo from the lady that ran down. She had had the baby. She sent him the photo with the baby. He's got that in his office on his bookshelf as a memorial unto God. The messenger of God in that case, he was the messenger that God gave to the messenger to give to the people so that they could experience the healing that God has for them. One obeyed and the other did not. The other didn't have a baby. So we have to look at these things and say, is it me? It's not a thing of condemnation. Right. You know, oftentimes if you read in the Psalms, David, the reason he was a man after God's own heart is because he was always searching in his heart. You know, he was always, Lord, I want to, and he didn't have, you know, there was some revelation that he got, you know, and you preached on it one time about how he looked into the future and brought things from the future into the now. But, you know, he was just, Lord, search my heart. Search within me. You know, I used to go to church, and I used to be excited. In fact, I was the one leading the progression. I was the one leading the people. And I don't know what's happened to me, but bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy. And he began to say things. He began to speak to his soul realm, his mind, his emotions. Say, bless the Lord, soul. Bless the Lord. Who forgets not all his benefits. Who heals me of all diseases. Who forgives me of all iniquities. And he begins to remind himself of the goodness of God and be thankful. And he pulls out of it, just like that. Just like that. When you begin to do something like that, the presence of God will come on you, and whatever it is that has been plaguing you and causing you, I don't know why I feel like this. I don't know why I feel like this. Go back to lesson number one, praise and thanksgiving, the anointing. What was the third one? Say unto the mountain. And you got to speak these things out loud. Amen. Talk to yourself. Because what are we? What are we? We are a spirit. That's who we are. We are a spirit. We are a spirit. So our spirit man, when our spirit man talks from our body, because my voice is part of my body, right? So I begin to talk from my spirit, I hear what I say. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So I begin to speak things of the word of God. I begin to speak victory. For favor surrounds me as with a shield. I walk in favor today. And I say to the mountain, favor, favor. Grace, grace. I speak to the mountains and say, favor, favor. I'm favored of the Lord. I'm blessed of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? So you can change your environment that way. James chapter 2, go there with me. Some of these things are going to become so clear tonight. I had a revelation. I was talking to a friend on the phone, and I said, you know, I'm a spirit. So, and I know God, I know what He has for me. I know all the promises of God. I know He doesn't alter His covenant. So I know these things. So why hasn't these things come? And I said, it's me. It's me. It's me. I could just imagine Naaman going, yeah, that's stupid. It's me. And you know what he does? He goes down to the river. It's me. Wow. That should excite you. What if it was just you holding you back? Oh no, Brother Eric. I have got an army of demonic forces that are fighting against me. Well, maybe, maybe not. But you, if that's the case, you still have authority and power over them. They've been rendered powerless. Oh my goodness, so many people glorifying the devil. Well, Satan's on the move. Satan's on the move.
Come on.
I remember going, can I use this? I mean, it's okay to like. So I'll phrase it like this. This pastor kept inviting me to speak at his church. And I said no a couple of times, and because we don't like line up, you know, so other reasons. But the Lord says if he asks you again, you say yes. So he asked me again. I said yes. So I went to his church. And I said, well, what's Wednesday night like at your church? And he goes, oh, it's, you know, the people are really quiet. You know, just plow through. And I mean, some of y'all, this is a real thing. When people just sit there, their mouth open, slightly drooling. As a speaker, that's kind of tough to look at. It's like sometimes I want to take my camera and go, whoop. I'll send that to you later. But so I went. So the first few minutes, they would give prayer requests. And then this person had the prayer request. And then this person had the prayer request that topped that person's prayer request. And then this person had a prayer request that topped his prayer request and his prayer request put together. But this person over here, oh my goodness, they took the cake for prayer requests. And then this person over here said, unspoken, because they didn't trust nobody to share their business. I always love that.
Yeah.
Unspoken. Yes. That means I don't trust none of y'all to share my business. So I'm listening to all this, and I thought, dear God, I got to get up and preach after this. What? So I get up and preach, and the Lord reminded me of this song about Waymaker, not the slow Waymaker that just came out, but it's a fast Waymaker song that we did in choir. And how do you know he's a Waymaker? What has he done for you? Has he brought you out? And the choir would go, yes. Without a doubt, yes. Has he brought you through, yes, when you didn't know what to do. And then we do this side shuffle, you know, something like that. Something like that, you know, a little side shuffle. I just added that part. But anyway, it just talks about how God made a way. He made a way where there wasn't, where you couldn't find a way, you know, and oh my goodness. These people just start popping up, and next thing you know, people are like shouting and praising. I thought these people were quiet. And so as I'm saying this, Sister So-and-so back there, because this is Pentecostal, she starts going off in tongues. This was my first time where the gift of tongues in church happened to me as a preacher. I was young, you know. So I always watched what other pastors and preachers would do, and so I did this. Waiting for the interpretation. Because I'm not interpreting it. And anyway, we had church. We had church.
Church.
We had church that night. Because people caught the fact that, you know, it's not all about your problems. God's still got doing good things in the earth. Shall you not know it? That's the thing is, if he's always doing something new because he's a creator and we don't recognize it. So when we come to recognize these things, I don't mean this to be silly, but if you do get that front row parking spot at Walmart, that's the favor of God. You have to believe that God cares about you that much. That he'll go before you and make your way.
Amen.
So that's the favor of God. Then you begin to see the favor of God in other areas of your life where God's showing you his favor. Where he's shining down on you. Showing you his love. He's showing you some love. That's what the favor is. He's showing you some love. And so you go, hey, that's the favor of God on me. That's the favor. The favor is working every day in my life. The blessing, the favor. It's working, it's working, it's working.
Come on.
Did you find James 2 yet? So Peter, so we're not to James 2 yet, but as long as you found it. So Jesus comes on the scene and says to Peter, who's a fisherman, can I use your what? Can I use your boat? They push out a little ways, and Jesus preaches to the people. Now, they had done what all night? These fishermen. They had fished all night and caught nothing. I don't know if you really call that fishing. You're fishermen. Would you say you fished if you fished all night and caught nothing? Yes. You would say you still fished? So, well, that's what they did. Have you ever fished all night and caught nothing? You have?
Yeah.
Okay. See, Peter, there's other people down here that when they get up there, they're going to have words because they didn't catch nothing either. So Jesus gets done and says to Peter, cast your nets, launch out of the deep for a catch. Now, was this some great word to Peter? It was not. This was not some great word. Jesus didn't come out, shout before the Lord, raise his hand, and make a big production of it. No. He said, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. And Peter's response to this wasn't, okay, that's all I have to do? That sounds pretty simple. I mean, I know how to cast my net down because I'm a fisherman. Think about it. He's a professional fisherman. So this wasn't a hard task. Am I right?
Right.
That's good. He's asking Peter to do something that is very familiar to Peter. Something that, as a professional fisherman, would be a simple task.
Right.
Now, because I'm not a professional fisherman, that wouldn't be a simple task for me. Right? But for Peter, this wasn't a hard word. This wasn't hard. So he says, Lord, we fished all night, and we've caught nothing. We fished all night and we caught nothing. In other words, I already did it. I already did it. Maybe, you know, you weren't around, but remember the boat was here when you got here, Jesus, and we were cleaning the nets up. I mean, did you, what were you thinking? I mean, but it says, nevertheless, at your what?
Word.
So God might ask us to do something that we've already done and failed at. Oh, we already tried that. Didn't work. Oh, yeah. We had that idea too. Didn't work. They ought to start a club for the didn't work people. This wasn't a hard thing to ask, was it? And he said, nevertheless, at your word. And then what happened? He did according to what? The word of the Lord. I like Peter. I relate to Peter. You know, sometimes Peter said stuff he shouldn't have said. I've gotten better at that. What's that? Yeah, Nikki's not here. And she's asleep right now, so she's in South Africa. Jesus said, he didn't wave his hand when Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. It wasn't some great production that Jesus said when Peter stepped out and walked on water. We criticize him because he sank. But how many of you have walked on water besides those of you that have walked on a frozen lake in the north? Yeah, this is it. But Jesus said what? One word. One word. One word. And Peter walked on water. One word. And he defied all natural laws that man's governed by. One word. And he walked on water. I'd like to walk on water. That'd be cool. James chapter 2, we're there. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, I don't have to always, when I'm talking about, now this, I'm teaching now. When I'm talking about saying, when I'm talking about speaking and saying, I don't have to impress anyone with my confession of faith.
Come on.
That deserved a loud amen. Because there's a lot of people that they try to impress people by their confession of faith to say what they know. But it says right here, you show me your faith without your works. See, somebody says their confession of faith and I don't see the fruit of that. That's the evidence of the faith, is the fruit that the faith produces. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
And so he says, I will show you my faith by my works. Another word for works is obedience. I'll show you my faith by my obedience. I'll show you what I believe by how I live. There, you get the point on that?
Yes, sir.
I'm off that now. Dr. Savelle was in he used to do these crusades and things, and well, T.L. Osborne was a great evangelist. Where is the maestro? Maestro, come on up. I always do that. So T.L. Osborne was a great evangelist, and he used to say, if Jesus is alive today, let him do what he did before they crucified him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And miracles would break out. And so that was one of his mentors. Well, he talked about this one time, how he was at the service and they were talking about praise, and he didn't go up with a message. He was talking about praise. He said, praise him on the keyboard. And a man, lady began to praise on the keyboard, began to play keys. Praise him on the drums. Boo, 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 boo. Praise him on the bass guitar. Bounce, da, bounce, da, 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 da. Praise him on the trumpet. Praise him on the bongos. And the guy just sat there. Praise him on the bongos. The guy goes. Praise him on the bongos. And the man starts, and next thing the man had never played the bongos. He just happened to be standing there. But the anointing of God came on the man because God told the messenger to tell someone to do something. God still has men and women of God that he uses that are anointed by him. And it doesn't have to be some great word. It could be the most simple instruction known to man. Come. Which brings us to a decision of our choice. Do I believe? Do I believe? No man of God's perfect. We know that. But there should be a higher reverence in the body of Christ for God, for the things of God, for the house of God, and for the men and women that he places in leadership to lead us. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Obedience. Number four. Obedience. Would you stand tonight? I want you to just take a moment before God. While we're in this corporate setting, if you want to lift your hands to him as an act of surrender, and just ask him, say, Lord, not out loud, but to yourself, Lord, Is there anything that I've not been obedient in? Is there anything? Do I have unforgiveness? Have I not walked in love? Have I not obeyed what you said to me last time? Is there anything that I need to repent of? Because when you take those things before God, you recognize them, you say, Lord, I repent of that. Lord, I apologize. I shouldn't have talked about that person. I was ugly in traffic today. I didn't walk in love. Lord, I sinned. I lusted. I lied. I was dishonest. Please forgive me. There's a song that I was thinking about, that God's love, you know. And you always think of repenting as that machine they use to till the soil of the ground so that it doesn't become hard, because sin hardens the heart, you know. You say, well, I haven't been in sin, but maybe it's not what you consider a big sin, but the Bible says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Amen.
Another translation says, to him who knows to do right that day and doesn't do it, because you ignored that still small voice. You went against that. He was speaking to you, you went against it. I'm helping us. I'm helping us right now. He's helping us. He's helping us. This isn't hard. And we went against that. I'm just so thankful that our promise is that we can run boldly to the throne of grace to obtain Amen. Mercy and to find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
So the first step is just to recognize these things in our life so we can get them out. Because it's things like that that can block and hinder all the promises of God that are on the other side. It could be just something as simple as, you know what? I gotta forgive my brother. I gotta forgive my sister. I gotta forgive my son, my daughter. I've carried the worry and anxiety of my children. I remember there was a little small stretch, small part of time where our son Drew, who likes his life to be private, where I said to him, I said, son, I love you, but I'm no longer carrying the worry and anxiety of your decisions. And I have given that to the Lord. And I want you to hear me, that you can keep doing what you're doing, but I've given that to the Lord. And I want you to know that he's still with you. And when you come to him, he'll love you as I love you, greater than I love you. And that was a big step at that time. The burden of that I carried. And people do that. I'm no exception to that.
Come on,
to the rule. People do that all the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it steals your joy. It steals your peace. It steals your freedom. You don't recognize things of God. You're so focused on that you're not focused on the promises of God. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love tonight. What key are you in? Let's go to G. Your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift up my voice and worship you, my King.
Yeah.
And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. I will lift up my voice. I will lift up my voice and worship you, my King. And I will find to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean's tides. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. I will lift up my voice and worship you, my King. I will find to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Thank you for your love, Father. I speak healing in the area of the soul realm. Speak healing, the anointing of God as the ointment.
Thank you, Father.
That's put over a wound. And Father, I'll just loose that anointing right now as that comes over your people. Lord, that would cause them not to trust. Because our trust is in you. And we thank you, Father. And those people that have hurt us, Lord, we forgive everybody.
Yes.
We forgive everybody.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
Lord, those that we even thought had our best interests, even leaders, even leaders. That we trusted. Lord, we forgive. We forgive. No, you don't have to, you don't have to be guarded. You don't have to be guarded. That's a defense mechanism. Receive. Receive the love of God. 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 For this is by the Spirit, this is strong. For those betrayals in your life, receive the love of God. Those betrayals have held you back. Yeah, they were things that were done to you. But now you can step back into faith through your forgiveness. It's your choice. Faith has works. In this case, the work of faith is forgiveness.
Yes.
That's a work of faith. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Keep just hearing that phrase, like billows of love. That's a song or something, I think. Billows of love. It's waves of love. Waves of love. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Anything else? I'll wait. Pastor Phil, anything? Thank you, Father. Pastor Justin, anything? I'm waiting.
And this just ties into, you know, receiving the offering tonight. But as Eric was ministering and about talking about obedience, I remember being in this room in September of 1999, and church wasn't started yet, and I remember being right by that wood pillar there, that spance, and we'll stand there. We were in line. There was a table in the back wall there, and there was another table in front of the sound booth, and I'm in that line right before we get to that pillar, and the presence of God came on me, like strong, to where like my arm was shaking, and I had to hold it. It was like, what? Why is my arm shaking? And clear as day, the Holy Spirit said, "See that couple where Philip is, there was a table, Philip Pollard, there was a table there. And actually, there was a table there where you would pay your registration for Bible school. And then in front of the sound booth, there was a table there. And it was mainly a place to kind of let them know if you didn't have the money for registration. And I'm standing there, and the Holy Spirit's, I mean, the presence of God is on me strong. And he says, "See, that couple, you need to pay for the registration." I'm like, "Well, I only have one check." I conveniently just brought one check in, and so all that, it was $250 per person, you know, for the registration. So theirs was $500, mine was $250, so that's $750. but I only had $1,000 to my name. And I still didn't know where I was going to live in Texas. I didn't have a job in Texas. Had no idea how I was going to make it. I still had $3,000 worth of credit card debt that I told God. I was like, in order to get to Bible school, I got to be out of debt. And yet I'm here. Bible school hasn't quite started. And I'm standing over there and the Holy Ghost comes on me. Like, I know it was, I'm like, people say that guy's weird. He's weird. He's shaken. And I'm going, so I paid for my registration. I even tried to walk past that table because all our course books were in where the kids ministry is now. And so you walk through the kitchen, you go around to get your books. I even tried to walk past it, like, I'm not doing this. And finally, it was like, I got in front of the table, and it was like my feet were in, like, cement. And it was like the Holy Ghost was like, do you want to see a miracle? And it's like, you need to do this. So I told them, it's like, that couple that was here, I need to go pay their registration. I went out to my car, got my checkbook, wrote a check for $500 in fear and trembling. And less than 2 weeks later, I got something that was postmarked that was to that day that my credit card was paid off, $3,067. But it happened the same day that I wrote that check. And so, obedience. Because God loved Justin that much. But not only that, God loved them that much. And it's in that obedience and following that direction that opens the key to breakthrough. And I can tell you, I could tell you 10 months of stories of not working, but yet volunteering 80 hours a week. It's not that I wasn't working. I just wasn't working for a paycheck. Because for all that time, I was making great money before then. But the Lord said, I want you to trust me. I'll eventually get you a job, but I want you to trust me because you have trusted in your paycheck for too long. And so I lived by faith for 10 months. Not that I didn't work. There was some thing. I just didn't go out and get an actual job. There was times where I had to pass out flyers. There was things that don't... Some people, when they talk about Dr. Savelle, he quit his job and he spent 8 hours a day studying the Word. And, well, I'm going to do that. But a lot of people don't know the rest of the story that at nighttime he was working at a feed store or he was working at fixing cars underneath a tree in his front yard. And they'll just say, well, God's just going to rain money. No, it was obedience. The obedience was sell your business, quit your business, and study the Word of God for no less than 8 hours a day. It doesn't mean that he never worked. The issue is you still have to put your hand to something. Faith is not foolishness. Faith is being obedient. And so when Abraham's faith came to finality when he offered Isaac, that was the obedience. That was the works of obedience that James chapter 2 talks about. Amen. Thank you, Eric, for the word tonight. We receive it. And we make a heart decision. Amen. Make a heart decision that, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. Amen.